Welcome to That Girl's Going Places. If you are brand new, my name is Marin. Welcome to the pod. I am both excited and nervous and passionate about today's episode. It's going to be a good one. That's all I have to say. Today I have Rachel Sandler on, and if you go to Solid Core, if you're a Solid Core coach, then you 100% already know who she is, I guarantee. And if you don't, maybe. I think you do. I think they do. If you don't, Rachel, introduce yourself and kind of how we cross paths, and also something that you're manifesting for yourself right now.
Yeah, sure. I'm Rachel Sandler. I'm a senior master coach at Solid Core here in Washington, D.C. Started coaching in Philly, and I've been doing it for about 3 years. We cross paths on the internet, as seems to be the case with every Solid Core coach mm-hmm. that I know. We just sort of like land in the DMs one way or another. Something gets posted and someone else shares it, and it's been so cool. So that's how you and I met. I didn't even realize you were in Chicago, right, for the longest time. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got to know one another. Manifesting for right now, currently in like the middle of so much flux with like the end of the pandemic, but like not really the end of the pandemic, mm-hmm. but also like looking at moving. So I'm just manifesting some serenity for myself. Like the calmness I'll need to just kind of juggle, I think, transitions. So that's what I want.
I love that. Hoping for that for you.
Thanks.
Let's discuss first how this episode came about. So I asked Rachel just like probably weeks ago, if she would come on the pod. Just as I like plan out guests, I always will send a quick DM, and it was something that we like agreed upon, but hadn't really set a date or a topic. We just knew we wanted to do it. And then Rachel, do you want to discuss what happened this past weekend?
Yeah. I made like the rookiest of mistakes when it comes to social media, and I got mad on the internet at a business that was promoting and posting some really toxic stuff. I'll be PG stuff. Mm-hmm. And I called them out on it, and it dovetails really nicely with some of what we had talked about. And you'd originally reached out because I talked about branding and marketing 101 for fit pros on my boyfriend's podcast. And you were like, oh, I love this. I was like, actually, this is kind of an overlap, because normally we talk about like how to do it and then why it's important for fit pros mm-hmm. to do it well. This is kind of going to be the reverse, which is like, here's an example of like why you should do it well and like exactly. what not to do. And then we can talk about like what those good choices would be.
Mm-hmm. So we both got very heated. I think rightfully so. There's, you know, it's not a surprise that women specifically are viewed in the fitness industry very differently than men. And specifically, you know, the way, food intake is monitored for women, or strength lifting for women is like a, you know, shocking event for them to do. I mean, I could go on and on. There are a bunch of aspects to this. And so this post that Rachel kind of went after, touched on that. Do you want to just describe what it was so that people get an image?
Yeah, I'll try not to belabor the point too much, because I've said so much on it already online. Mm-hmm. But there's a strength training facility in Philadelphia, which, like I said earlier, is where I kind of started coaching, that had a lot of fit pros coming to visit and promote them and share like, oh, I was here, I worked out, it was great, thumbs up emoji, whatever. And like any natural person, I was curious and clicked on it and looked, and I was like, wow, I don't really understand what this workout is, because their verbiage is confusing. So I was clicking through the actual post, right? And in doing so, I found a lot of really troubling language on captions, stuff like, this is what a woman's back should look like, and blah, and stuff like that. And then I stumbled upon a meme they shared on their actual like in-feed post that said, lifting won't make women huge, cupcakes make women huge. And I went off out loud in real life, like IRL went off. Poor Craig heard me just go bananas over it. But I sent them a DM, right? Like I DM'd them their own post and I said, hey, as a fit pro with a Philly connection, I'm reaching out because this is concerning. It's really problematic. Honestly, as a marketing and communications professional in my like not coaching life, this is also really bad business strategy. And I don't work for free, but I'd be happy to give you like 10 to 15 minutes of my time to tell you how you could do so much better. And they ignored me, which like as a woman, I'm used to. And so I commented on that post, same tone, right? I wasn't saying like, screw you guys, or like, you should fail and like all this stuff. I said, hey, this is really troubling and deeply problematic. And I would really appreciate your time to tell you why. And they deleted my comment. They didn't delete the post, like the offending post stayed up.
Silenced my polite
comment. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was a choice. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, how much do I want to invest? And it's like, no, it's so messed up. I know I have the moral high ground and I know I can do this in a way that's respectful and effective. And so I shared it on my story and I said, this is the problem. This is emblematic of why the fitness industry can be so dangerous and toxic. And this is how you do a terrible job marketing. And I posted about it. They deleted the post with no like message to me about it. They just were like, let's make this go away. Oh no, she has like a couple thousand followers and people are responding
behind her.
I think some people had started to comment on it, like, you know, the middle finger emoji and whatnot. I was like, yeah, well, that's what happens when you're an asshole on the internet. Sorry. But they sent me an email. The founder sent me this like kind of unproductive email being like, we didn't make that post, blah blah blah. And I said, okay, well, you might not have created a hate symbol, but if you shared it, you're still in trouble.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Right. I was like, I heard from a lot of people, and I think this is kind of getting to our point, that they had been in that facility and they had trained with their trainers, and the ethos of that post very closely aligned with the ethos of the training. This notion that like, you need to be so lean, or talking about like earning your dinner or earning your cupcakes or like sweating for the wedding or beach body or whatever, which is just not good. We deserve so much better. And I actually got a follow-up email, no actual response to my emails, just like additional emails, which is cool, from one of the female trainers who, I won't name her obviously, but she acknowledged that she had, and to be blunt, has an eating disorder, and she works there. And she told me that she's an empowered woman empowering women. And I said, neither you nor I speak for all women. We simply don't. You and I are also both white women. And from what I can tell, straight white women who identify as women. And so you and I are definitely not the only voices that are relevant in this conversation. And I think when you're in fitness and you market, if you're speaking to only one type of person, one, you're doing a disservice to the like entire range of bodies that deserve to enjoy fitness, but you're also really bad at business because that's a whole market you're not communicating.
You're with. Missing so, out on. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, we were just talking about this over breakfast, Craig and I, when you're bad at posting in fitness, it's kind of different than when people complain about, oh, this new initiative where we have to do better is going to be so hard or so laborious. That's not really the point. You should do it because it's the morally right thing to do. But in fitness, being inclusive at all levels is also really good for your bottom line. And so it's kind of one of those things where you're just like, why is this so hard? It doesn't have to be. I'm telling you how to make more money on top of not be an absolute clown.
Exactly.
So that's the short version. I'm sorry.
No, don't be. Oh my gosh. No, I love that you touched on that. Like, I mean, at the very minimum, like you're trying and people are trying to help these businesses selfishly make more money. Like, is that not something that you want as a business owner? If nothing more, just like, being morally right and inclusive will help you monetarily. So there's no reason for you not to take that route. So you basically answered what I was going to ask, which is like the overall problem that we've been coming up on in the fitness industry. And I think it touches on a lot of inclusivity issues and equality issues, which is interesting just considering the state of our society as well. I think there's a lot of correlations there. So why is it such an impactful issue? Obviously fitness is our bodies. It's our health. It's, you know, you enjoy it. It's good for longevity. There's a lot of important things to fitness specifically. And then fitness marketing, just from my perspective as someone with a past with an eating disorder, and a lot of that came from social media and diet culture. Like, I've obviously witnessed the effects of toxic marketing from that end. What would you say the impact of kind of this toxic, problematic fitness marketing could be?
Yeah, it's really insidious, it's really ubiquitous, and it's really subversive. Which is why it's so dangerous, right? The post that I commented on is kind of like low-hanging fruit. Like, this is so obvious. How are you doing this? But one of the things I shared with them is that you cannot tell if your client that you just met, that you don't know personally, that you don't have a background of their medical history, are they really committed or are they struggling, right? Mm-hmm. You don't actually know. And so, especially at like younger ages, people are so impressionable, both men and women, and honestly, non-binary folks. It's really easy to consume information and just slowly manifest it for yourself as truth. The younger you are, I think the more susceptible, but as you get older, there are bigger challenges in your life that I think you face, like from your professional career to your personal career, the stakes kind of get higher, right? Like mortgages and kids and marriages. And when people are vulnerable, they're most susceptible to that kind of influence. And so, you know, we talk about influencers and we make fun of them sometimes for sure, but they really do have an impact on people. Mm-hmm. And the more we shape a conversation in fitness around lean bodies, around bodies that are very specifically like one type of acceptable, the more we're reinforcing a standard that all the other bodies aren't worthy. And your body is where you live. It's your original dwelling. And so it's there forever until you're no longer here. And it's going to change. It's not going to be the same that you were when you were 16 and 20 and 40 and 60 and whatever. And I feel like there are a lot of people who look back at their 18-year-old body and they're like, why was I so cruel to myself? I had everything. And I'm like, yeah, but do you remember your mentals when you were 18? Because I bet you they weren't 100% rock solid. Mm-hmm. And so rather than shaping wellness on the appearance of a person, let's talk about the functionality. And let's talk about like the capacity for load, because in solid core, so much of what we talk about is this is so hard. It is unreasonably difficult in this room, but if you can do this, there's no way you
outside
can't go
of this
out there
room. Right.
And take the lesson that like, this is uncomfortable in the moment, but I'm going to survive it. Those like little modifications in how we approach a challenge, both physically and mentally, I think are huge for folks. And so the more the conversation shifts in fitness to the benefits long-term, right? Like women should lift. They should lift heavy things. They should do load-bearing exercises, not because you're going to get a big butt, right? That is both like appropriating culture, that is super offensive, that's toxic as hell. And also, like, let's talk about osteoporosis, because women are going to get it if they don't do these types of things. They have like a higher rate of developing that. Let's talk about the quality of your life when you're 50, or like the impact on childbearing. Like that could be easier because you're stronger, instead of being like, don't you wish you had a six pack, or like, don't let your biceps get too big. I'm like, those pale in comparison, in my opinion, to like the long-term benefits.
Agreed.
And so that's kind of like, I think the most roundabout way to answering that question.
No, it was amazing. The first thing I want to touch on too, and this relates to what I had kind of followed up on from your post on my own stories, was that this specific meme was like very obviously toxic. It was not something that I think a lot of people like would not deem as diet culture. It was like very blatant and very direct. I also think part of the problem, and as I've been having this discussion with people on my Instagram, as you've been having these conversations with your audience, I think a lot of it is also indirect, which is almost when it's the most harmful. One phrase that I know we've both talked about is the whole like, don't worry, girls, you're not going to get bulky if you lift, right? And so here's the thing. I like that when I first started lifting and I was still like in my recovery stage, like that was comforting to me, because I went into exercise as a like aesthetic activity. And so that was comforting. And now I look back and I'm like, so we're saying that that's the thing to fear, like with exercise, that you're not going to become a certain size, like as if that was the bad thing. Like, right. Girls, you can lift. And it almost sounds empowering, which is why it's like indirect and problematic and harmful. It is, you know, it sounds like, oh my gosh, women should lift. They're so like, they can be strong. You deserve to do this, but don't worry. Like, you're actually not going to become bulky like those guys, because I know you wouldn't want that. I'm assuming that you want to stay lean. So right.
Lord, that's been a thing for me, like, for so long, for exactly the reasons you said. People think that that's encouraging, and people mm-hmm. think that that's okay. And they're like, well, there's no limit for you. You don't have to just do the elliptical. They always say elliptical mm-hmm. too. They're like, oh, you're doing cardio. You're on a spin bike. You're on the elliptical. Uh-huh. Like, no, women run. Okay. They right. run too. But there's this assumption that we just do like these light workouts, and mm-hmm. every woman walks into a gym trepidatious to pick up a weight as if like two bicep curls are going to walk out like Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be Hulk Hogan. Forget what he looks like. Okay. But you can't tell women that they can strength train and then in the same exact breath tell them that there's a limit to what mm-hmm. strength looks like. It's
and
not
give them their desired goals. You tell them, put them in their place, what goals they should have. That's what that assumes.
Right. So there we saw this in a lot of the responses to your questions that mm-hmm. you posted, right? Like, a lot of women have said that people have been like, oh, you've started lifting, aren't you afraid you're gonna get bulky? And I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard that a yeah. lot. And it's just, it's disgusting to me, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, because it's so manipulative to say like, yes, do this, but like only do it to a certain extent. And then there's the other side of this, which is like, how dare you suggest that a woman who perhaps has like a very prominent muscular structure, how dare you make that sound like it's a bad thing? Mm-hmm. Like, as a trainer, you have a responsibility yeah. to be really clear to folks. They're not going to wake up a bodybuilder. That doesn't just like magically happen. Uh-huh. You're not going to accidentally do that, right? No. Like, that takes a lot of hard work and hard a lot work, of dedication yeah. and purpose. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And those people mm-hmm. are so strong. And I think it's terrible that we look at the female category of that sport and go, that's not what we're looking for. Like, that's mm-hmm. not attractive either. Like, you're too strong. Mm-hmm. And at the risk of sounding dramatic, like, that again plays into this notion of like where the patriarchy falls in this, right? Like,
honestly, right.
Yeah. That strength that like looks too masculine. And like, when did men get the monopoly on strength? I don't recall yeah. getting that public service announcement.
And women got Pilates and the elliptical. So,
yeah. But that's a nice segue, I feel like, to one of the responses we got, which is, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you have this as a solid core coach, is men view yeah. any workout that's predominantly inhabited by women as being naturally easier. And I can speak from my experience that I've had several women bring their like significant other who's a man to my class. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't listen to me at all when I give them the demo, right? And I emphasize that like, the goal is second stage muscle fiber, like failure. We're going to break apart your slow twitch muscle fibers. Like, that is not only the spiel, but the reality of this workout. And there are so many men who walk in who are very strong, right? Appearing. And I'm sure they go to the gym and they lift heavy things all the time and they crumble in class. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there's just, I think part of the reason is because they walk in like, this is a girl workout, like mm-hmm. that kind of nonchalant condescension. I had a man this freaking weekend after a workout where like I have smoked him many times before, respectfully, and he had the audacity to DM me from his dog's Instagram account.
Oh my god.
To be like,
red flag,
you did really well today, like I don't know okay. what you're doing, but pound for pound you were the fittest person in our group. And mm-hmm. I just deleted it. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. Mm-hmm. But like the condescension to be like, wow, you went hard. Like, excuse mm-hmm. me, sir. My chromosomes yeah. don't determine my level of effort in anything. Uh-huh. And I think like there's just this like natural conversation that we need to do a better job of being like, this isn't how we're gonna talk about it anymore. Like, we're mm-hmm. not accepting this. So
mm-hmm. I think comments like that too have a natural, like unspoken for a girl at the end of it. I think it's always like, oh, you worked so hard for a girl. Like that's what I feel all the time. There will be like, I mean, I live in the suburbs. And so when I go to the Lifetime, like at 6 a.m. in the morning, it's mostly like corporate 40 to 50 year old men and dads like going to the gym before work. And I cannot tell you how many times like one of them has come up to me at the squat rack where I am and deserve to be. And they're like, wow, this is so impressive. Like, I've never seen a girl deadlift that much. And you're so small. I'm 5 feet tall. So like, it's a little, like, it's shocking to them that a girl mm-hmm. could pick up a barbell with like a lot of weight on it. Like, mm-hmm. wow, that is really just incredible that like you are here and, you know, you're here every morning lifting weights. Like, I've never seen that before. You're so strong for a girl. And I like, the first instinct is like, okay, that feels kind of good. And then I'm like, no, that does not feel good at all. Like, why would that be anything shocking to you? You know, right. I've had also comments like, you look so good. You're like, you must really like how you look now. And I'm again, like, what is your assumption that women go to the gym purely for vanity? Like, when did the correlation between women and working out for vanity instead of pleasure and enjoying lifting, like become a thing? That is also insane to me that women can't enjoy their workouts. But just like that notion of almost every compliment has like a backhanded, well, that for a girl. So it's like a little bit less of a compliment now because I'm saying it to you in this tone. So,
right. No, that makes me think of so many things all at once. Mm-hmm. One, I think she responded to you, but my friend Leah, she's mm-hmm. a power lifter at like a very mm-hmm. high elite level.
Yeah.
And she's also very petite. So I think she relates to you in the fact that like, she is perhaps like small in stature.
Right.
And so a lot of men literally look down
at her.
Mm-hmm. Right. In a literal sense. And she was we were exchanging messages because of course she empathizes. And she was saying how, like some men will come up to her and be like, wow, I think you might be able to lift more than me. And this is a man who maybe goes to the gym 2 or 3 times a week to lift on their own, like not with a trainer, not with a program, just mm-hmm. again, like in a healthy, natural way. There's no shame in it, but she has a coach and she competes at a national level. And so she'll say, yeah, you're probably right. Because she's like pretty close to, or does deadlift right. 400 pounds.
Right. Like, I casually. Hope she lifts more because she's right. putting this and work into it.
But they're like shocked that she has the audacity to say, yeah, you're probably right. Kind of like when you're dating and a guy is like, wow, you're pretty. And if you were to say thank you, he'd be like, oh, excuse me very much. Like, whoa. And so it's kind of that like, they find it like repugnant. Like, God forbid, mm-hmm. you shouldn't take the compliment. You should acknowledge mm-hmm. it as fact when in fact it is a fact. Because mm-hmm. there are numbers on barbells.
It's so wild. I loved her responses in my question box too. I noticed her. I was like, yes, like this is my kind of people. She was saying kind of like people. All of what, you know, along the lines of what we were talking about. And especially being a shorty like me, like that's a big thing too. Like literally I do not take up much space in this world, like physically. And that's like one of the reasons I love lifting, like for me personally, a confidence thing, like feeling very strong in my body. When I grew up in dance, was not told I was strong. I was small. Like that's a big part of it too. Like, why can it not be for that reason? And not like, I want to have a bigger butt. Like that's nice, but that's not the reason I'm there. So, for sure. Okay, where are we in this Google Doc? We did make a Google Doc for this episode, I want to mention. I have found my type A counterpart in this world.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. Enjoy. So I think I want to pivot slightly and put this on a positive spin. So obviously, I know we're finally there. We're finally there. So obviously there's like a lot of problems. We're not, we've addressed that. That's clear. So that doesn't mean that there's no hope for the fitness space. And I'm hoping that this episode can be one of the voices that changes things or puts a different perspective on things for listeners. But also, how can we make sure that voices that need to be heard are heard, and that trainers who have the right kind of ethical standards for their business and practices get the voice that they need.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I'm kind of gonna like maybe segue a little bit between bridge the divide, if you will. And I want to be clear that like the way I held this business to like accountability, whether they liked it or not, was done with an eye towards marketing, right? And an eye towards communications. There was no name calling, even though I wanted to. There really wasn't any cursing on my part. There wasn't like a demand for the resignation of the owner. There wasn't like an intended attack where I said like, you should close your doors and whatever. There wasn't that, right? It was an attempt to educate, and it was done very like thoughtfully. At least I tried to be thoughtful. And in doing so, like the way I shared things and what I shared was very much with an eye towards who I was speaking to, right? I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to my clients. I'm speaking to people with and without eating disorders, and maybe people who have a knowledge of eating disorders, but also those who just are very ignorant on it for reasons that may or may not be malicious, right? They just might not know. And so when I consider my audience, I think it's important to state that like, I'm doing this and I'm saying these things because this is wrong and it could hurt people in a really serious way. I provided some really key statistics, talking is so hard, to say like, this is something that impacts a really big audience at all ages, races, genders, different parts of life. And I made my argument that way. And I said, like, I'm in this to help people. I'm not in this to make this business owner feel bad. I'm not in this to make myself look cool, right? Because this isn't very cool. This sucks that I have to feel the need to do this. And like, it's mentally exhausting. But like the goal is just to say that like, this is not acceptable and I'm not going to accept it. I am not, like Kim Kardashian. I'm not verified on Instagram. I don't have like 500 million followers. I'm not a professional athlete, right? I just happen to be a fairly outspoken solid core coach who's been doing it a while and has, I would say, like a loyal following of people that I engage with, some in person and some like you and I remotely. And so my point was just to those people and anyone that they shared it with, that like, this isn't okay. And we don't have to think it's okay. And we don't have to turn a blind eye. Because as we talked about earlier, people on the internet sometimes just internalize things, maybe subconsciously. And so when you change the narrative around those conversations and you say, this isn't great. And we don't have to think it's okay. And we can actually out loud, God forbid, say that this is wrong. And that exercise, I think, was kind of how you go about starting that conversation. And when I talk to Fit Pros about marketing and communications and social media strategy, everyone's like, I want to get my follower count up. I want to get my engagement up. I want a bigger audience. And I get it, right? Like, of course you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like you want to lift a heavier barbell. Like, cool. Right. Numbers matter. But I also think it's important to realize that some people want, they buy followers, so they look like they have so many, but then they have like 11,000, you know, followers, and then they get 10 likes on something. It was like, you do realize this is fishy, right? Like, this isn't real. But speak to your people, right? Like, talk to who you have. I think it's disrespectful at times to be like, oh, I only have 1,200
more
followers.
And more and more. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, you have followers. You have people who are engaging with your material. What is that conversation like? And if you're authentic and consistent, right, there's a strategy. But if you're authentic and consistent in your communication, odds are that naturally is going to grow. That audience is going to share it with like-minded people. And all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, like there's a community here, and it might not be the biggest, mightiest community, but it's going to matter. Those are the people who are going to like speak to you and share your posts and comment on them. And that has value, right? Like I had so many productive conversations in the last few days with people who were like, thank you for sharing this. Like I will too. One of my older posts, I was like, look, you too can be an influencer. Cause if you influence one other person, you did it. You're an influencer. Right. Congratulations. Right. So that's kind of like the strategic pivot is like, think about who you're talking to and then think about what you want to talk to them about.
I think coming back, like, especially as a fitness professional, like coming back to why you started what you started, like, why are you actually doing what you're doing? Is it because you want to help change the narrative of fitness and empower people to take on their health and take care of themselves. And that should be the driving force of messaging as well. And I think like naturally that voice will be heard because it's the voice that people came to you for. So I think coming back to that as well. So right, to finish like, off,
No, I was going to say, it's what do you do and why do you do it? And everything right. else content wise should flow very naturally from that, whether it's like, why do I eat these things? Like I'm a chef and I love to cook these things. Right. Or, you know, like I'm a strength and conditioning coach and this is how I love to train. And like, let me show you why this matters and like why it's good for you, not because of the way you're going to look, but because of like the results and like the enjoyment you'll get out of it. That's kind of like the natural progression of social media in a good way.
At least it should be. It should be. Yeah. So to round stuff out, I think I want to leave this with like a very positive note after being our ranting selves for a little, which we should be. What is kind of your MO for encouraging women specifically to pick up weights, find a workout that they enjoy, focus on how it makes them feel versus how they're wanting to look? What would be your messaging to leave them with?
Ooh, I'm trying to think of things I say in class because I generally say things in class. It's kind of multifaceted, unfortunately. One, I think women disproportionately are caretakers for any number of things. Like I see women who are in corporate America who are so smart, who are tasked with like setting up meetings. And I was like, can a secretary do that? Like respectfully. Like why is that your job when you're a partner at a law firm? Like they're in charge of things that feel administrative at home and at work. And so when you have a workout, it's 50 minutes in solid core or 90 minutes on your own or 20 minutes, whatever it is, where you get to just worry about you, like just what you want, right? You might work out with somebody and that's fun, but like, this is time for you to just be autonomous in your body, making choices that allow you to feel good and do things that improve your well-being, mentally and physically.
Be your own caretaker.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're exercising your will over yourself during that time period that you've set aside. And so I think that that's huge. When I first started finding like high intensity fitness at like a very like regular interval, because I'd always been active and like I'd played sports, but I was going through a lot. And it wasn't that I was like looking for a different body type, or I really wasn't in it for an aesthetic goal. I was just like, I want to do something that makes me not think about anything else. Like I want to be in an environment where like maybe the music's really loud and the room's really dark and the workout's really hard, but I'm going to get up and be like, perspective. Like that was my time and that was for me. I tell clients in class, like, this isn't happening to you. I'm not giving you an assortment of things to hurt you. I'm presenting you with choices for 50 minutes and they're opportunities, and you do what you can, you try what you want, and you see where you are. You evaluate yourself in real time, not in a punishing way. Just like my favorite, honestly, like metaphor here is I say like, this is a buffet. It's a veritable array of options, but if you try to swallow it whole, you're going to choke. And so if you take it bite by bite, like rep by rep, piece by piece, you're going to get to the end of this meal in quotes. And you're going to feel so satiated and so satisfied and so full. And that's kind of like how I approach it. And like, that's how I want people to look at it. This is yourself filling your cup so that you can pour from it for others if you need to.
And you deserve to do it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I will be using that buffet metaphor in my class tonight. So great. Hamstrings and biceps. Got a buffet.
I'm so excited. I love this muscle
me
focus.
Too. Me too. Especially after my 90 day. I got some new tricks up my sleeve. It's going to be great.
Let's go. Single leg deadlift. Here we go.
Straight leg tonight. But yes. Yes. So Rachel, you're amazing. And I think that if anyone wants to follow you, they should. And it like your content is very worth the follow. So give yourself a little plug, everything that you want people to know about Instagram.
No, you can follow me and DM me your questions or your thoughts at rachel.sandler. Pretty easy. I'm also working on a pretty cool project with my boyfriend and his co-founder at Train with the Best. It is so cool. I'm so excited. If you're a coach in any capacity, solid core or otherwise, I would love for you to follow that account too, to see what we're cooking up. It's going to be so fun and it's so good and educational. So those are like where I live. And those are the easiest places to get a hold of me. So go on, join me.
And if you're ever in DC, and the next time I will be, go take a class.
Come visit 14th and
I really do need to. I really do need to. Well, thank you so much. I needed this conversation, like mentally. It was great to get this all out there. I think a lot of people will take some important takeaways. And so thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
With that, I will conclude today's episode. Thank you so, so much for listening, as always. If you did enjoy listening today, please leave a rating or subscribe to That Girl's Going Places wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really support me. And feel free to reach out at That Girl's Going Places podcast on Instagram with any questions that you have for a future Q&A segment or with any topic requests for future episodes. I love you all so much. I will talk to you again in the next episode, and I really hope that you have an amazing day.